welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Very interesting poem this month. We're going to talk about colorectal cancer. Listeners will know that it's one of the most common cancers worldwide and the fourth most common cause of death due to cancer. Looking a little bit closer to home here in the United States, colorectal cancer, about 10% of all cancer deaths, one in three people who are diagnosed with colorectal cancer dies of the disease within 5 years after diagnosis. All of those statistics suggest that prevention and early identification is going to be key. There are multiple screening tests that are available to detect precancerous polyps or early stage cancers of both the colon and the rectum. Each of the tests at different strengths and different weaknesses with regard to sensitivity and specificity and evidence of effectiveness and certainly convenience and acceptability and also cost. So the rationale is that the more colorectal cancers that we can detect early, the better it can be. And we know that most colorectal cancers arise from adenomatous polyps, and they start from very small to large, and that takes about 10 years on average. The estimate's imprecise because I don't think anybody's going to let somebody follow their polyps longitudinally. It's a little bit anecdotal, but it is the conventional thinking. Most colorectal polyps are either adenomatous or hyperplastic. The problem is we can't really look at a polyp with our naked eyes and tell what it is. So we have to do a biopsy. That's where things get dicey. So there are some screening tests that allow us to pick up high-risk patients, although they're going to need a more elaborate screening, specifically with a colonoscopy to get those polyps. You have found a poem. It was published in one of my favorite journals. That's because of the name. I love the journal Gut. It was published in 2018. It asks the question, what is the yield of a screening program based on fecal immunochemical testing every 2 years for a 10-year period? So as opposed to guaiac and colonoscopy, what's the yield of a screening program? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a really good study. It was, as you know, the most widely recommended colorectal cancer screening test in the U.S. is colonoscopy. But a lot of patients either don't want to do it, have heard, you know, from their friends how unpleasant the prep is, and so refuse to adhere to it. If you look around the world, most countries use FIT testing, fecal immunochemical testing. That's an update to the older guaiac-based test that doesn't require multiple samples, and it doesn't require any kind of a dietary prep, so there's better adherence. In Italy, that's the recommended cancer screening test, and they're rolling it out in the Veneto region in the north of Italy. There are currently four RCTs in progress that are comparing these two strategies, FIT-based versus colonoscopy-based, till they're done. And you know, by the way, of course, there has never been a randomized trial of colonoscopy either. We've had randomized trials of FlexSig that show it work, of the older guaiac tests that show they reduce mortality, but not of these newer tests. So I think it's going to be really important what those studies tell us in a couple of years. For now, we have to rely on modeling studies and observational data like this. So in Italy, in the Veneto, they did five rounds of screening every other year for 10 years. And this was in a population 50 to 69 years. Actually had a chance to meet the PI of this grant when I was visiting Padova last spring. My wife was on a Fulbright, and so I got to visit Northern Italy, which was a lot of fun, and gave some lectures there and met this researcher who's doing this really good work. Not surprisingly, and I think the point to make is when we think about cancer screening, we have to think about a program of screening and what the yield is and what the benefits and harm are, not just a single test. Obviously, colonoscopy is more sensitive and specific than a FIT test. Question is, over a program of screening over 10 years, 20 years, what happens to benefits and harms mortality? The modeling suggests it's actually pretty similar. So this study followed these rounds of screening. They found the highest rate of detection the first round of screening. That makes sense. You have all these pre-existing prevalent lesions that are detected, about 3 cancers per 1,000 persons. That declined over the next couple of rounds. And by the third round, 4 years later, it was only about 1 per 1,000 persons detected in terms of cancers. Same pattern seen for advanced adenomas, about 16 per 1,000 initially, down to about 10 per 1,000 in subsequent rounds. When they looked at all 10 years, the overall rate, the cumulative rate of a positive FIT was about 25% for men and 18% for women, which meant that about 3/4 or more of patients didn't require any follow-up colonoscopy. The cumulative rate for adenoma, advanced adenoma, was 60 per 1,000. For cancer, was about 9 per 1,000. And I think the key message here is those are actually very similar to the rates that we see for colonoscopy surveillance, I'm sorry, screening here in the U.S. So bottom line, over a 10-year period, the rates of detecting colorectal cancer and advanced adenomas were similar using FIT to what we see with colonoscopy. I think that's reassuring for patients that choose FIT testing over colonoscopy, which is a significant part of our population. It doesn't prove that FIT is equally good as colonoscopy, and I think we have to wait for those randomized trials, but I think it provides some reassurance that we are detecting most of the cancers and adenomas over time.
Great. So perhaps the question is, Mark, are you using FIT with your patients, or are you sticking with colonoscopy?
You know, we recommend colonoscopy, and if a patient hesitates at all, we go with FIT. I think one of the strategies that I've always, it is nice to have at least that initial colonoscopy to identify the higher risk patients. That's not based on any clinical trial data or modeling data. You know, so if we can, we'll get a colonoscopy initially on a patient. But then the option of using FIT, particularly for those who are refusers, is a great option. And I think the other message for clinicians who still have closets full of guaiac fecal occult blood tests, when you reorder a FIT test, not the usual guaiac-based test.
Right. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, but guaiac, even the newer guaiacs, are a fraction of the cost of FIT, which are also a fraction of the cost of a colonoscopy.
Yeah, the FIT tests are a little more, but not a lot more. I'm not an expert in the billing side, but presumably you can bill for at least the cost of the FIT tests. They're much more adherence. Patients are more likely to send it back into you. And, really that's what our goal is.
Yes, definitely patients like it more. Last question. I'm assuming that the recommendations for screening with FIT are exactly the same as colonoscopy starting at about age 50?
That's correct.
Thanks, Mark. A nice review. We'll talk again in a week.
All right. Look forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.